everybody to UPC. We get started here. We'll go around and introduce everybody in just a moment. Just want to make sure we're all ready to go. A fairly long agenda. We've got the budget to go over today, so we need to get going and get this taken care of. We'll start going around, name everybody who's here. Stephen Foote, Duchesne County.
Paul Boyden, SWAT.
Chad Woolley, Daggett County.
Jan Ferris, Morgan County.
Jeff Heumann, Utah County, just visiting.
Scott Swat, Wasatch County.
Marty Stones, Steve Garson, Lake City.
Gary Huber, Ridge County.
Dee Smith, Weaver County.
John Wade,
Kelly Sparks, Republic City, Scott City.
Paul Bittman, formerly Steve Garside's proxy world, I guess.
No, you still are. You still are.
Marilyn Jasperson, Prosecution Counsel.
Bob Church, UPC. All right, get started. Thank everybody for showing up today. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to take off early. I've got to be to Idaho Falls here about 3 hours. So hopefully not going to be.
That is 180 miles from Ogden.
There is an 80-mile-an-hour speed limit for a little ways. I'm leaving in about 2 minutes, but we've got the budget to go through.
What do you think, Cap? Can you make it?
I'll be close. 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock is what I have to be done. I actually have about 3.5 hours.
Can you arrange an escort for me?
I'll be close. So, I do have Fat Pot. I can look at it. Anyways.
It's not 80 on the Idaho side. It's only 80 on the
Utah
side.
That's
the...
All right. Thanks for the update. This is first time going through the budget with us. Be kind, be nice, but hold his feet to the fire, is what I say. So, Sim, I'll give you my right to vote here in this if we need it.
It's an official proxy. It's on the record.
Official proxy on the record. I'm going to take off. I'll let you handle the agenda. Cool. Appreciate it.
Okay, folks, just because we've got a little time and a lot to go through, I'm going to be really brief. I just want to give you all an update on what UPC has been doing. Oh, sorry. We need a motion to approve the minutes. Well, first of all, has everybody reviewed the minutes?
I did, and I'll move. They'll be approved.
Okay, a second?
Second.
Okay. Okay. With that, then we'll jump into it. Donna has got her detailed report that is in the director's summary. Donna is not going to be with us today. She mistakenly thought that the meeting was at the DA's office, but we're going to give Donna some slack. She's got, if you haven't heard, she has this huge tumor that is growing in her jaw, and it's going to have to undergo some major surgery. It's going to be out of the office for 2 to 3 weeks, so we're excusing Donna. I just wanted to let you know this informed trauma response. I don't know if you guys have heard about that, but she is working on with Detective Detective Boardman in West Valley City is just garnering some national attention. She's doing great things. You'll be hearing more about that. Ed, he's got his detailed report. We'll come to him as well. Just wanted to let you know we're working on some regional training, some workshops that are going to be, actually we've got one scheduled for Vernal. We're excited about that. You'll be hearing about that as well. Again, in the interest of time, I'm going to skip over the forum, the Google forum that Ed is starting. We talked about it in SWAP. We've got some feedback from them, but you should be seeing that starting. But again, I'll let Ed talk about that. For those of you that don't know Greg Fairbrush, he is the new Justice Division Director. Took over from Scott Reed. So if you start hearing his name, that is why you're hearing his name. And Chris Knowlton is his deputy director. I met with him a couple weeks ago, and just to let you know, he's very supportive of UPC, wants to take a hands-off approach. In terms of UPC, he just wants us to keep him advised of any major projects that we are working on. But transition has been good. Mark's been invaluable. He did most of the John R. Justice. We got that out. It was a little bit delayed, but we got John R. Justice out thanks to Mark. Helped me with the final preparations on the budget, and he was quite happy and walked out with a grin that he did not have to be here to talk about the budget. John Orr is our new law clerk, so you may be seeing emails from him. Good guy. He's got an impressive resume, amazing writer. He will be doing the newsletter So if you have any issues with that, let me know. I'm trying to get a newsletter, a UPC newsletter email address. So, because I'd love to start hearing from everybody, you know, whether it be pictures, whether it be ideas to put in the newsletter, where you can send it to that email specifically. But I'm working with IT to get that up. As we are going to get into the budget, it's been a difficult taskmaster, mostly because I don't know what we're going to do with PIMS. And so with that, I'm going to turn some time over to Ron. In your packets, I've given you a bunch of information. My hope was you'd be able to read every word of it, but I know realistically you haven't. Under tab A is an assessment with some options that Ron drafted back in April. And this, he actually sent me a more an updated one. I couldn't find it. But this was essentially where he sees we are with PIMS, what our options are. And I want him to, you know, just real briefly to go through really where we're at with PIM, what are the options, what is the future PIMS, because either this body, I'm assuming it's this body, maybe with some guidance from the PIMS committee, is going to have to decide what to do with PIM. So, Ron, if you'll go through that real quick.
Okay, just a quick note. PIMS is still viable. It can continue to be viable for those offices that have worked for you right now. Is the problem that we've run into is when we started, just real quick, that we started out just saying we're going to provide something that helps prosecutors manage their cases and create document stuff. As far as that goes, it works really well. But when we started talking about integration with other things, it's not that it won't work doing that. It's not that it can't be made to work with that. It's that it gets very costly to start doing that integration. And so we didn't realize how bad it was going to get until we were into it quite a ways. And we just, at some point, we looked at it and said, you know what? I don't see how it's not viable for UPC's budget to cover the cost of that. We're talking not hundreds of dollars or even thousands. We're talking hundreds of thousands to get it to where it should be as an enterprise type application that can work with everybody. So to do that and support it, you've got to talk. You know, we talked about user fees, and to do that, in the analysis I did, I talked about how if we were to do it, keep PIMS viable and ongoing and developing that, we're talking anywhere from, and the figures are hard to come up with because we don't know how many users or how many offices we're going to do it. You need to do it per user, per office type basis, which is hard. Anyway, if you do it as per user based on the users that I know about right now, to keep PIMS viable and get it operational with integrated, you know, e-filing, we're talking over somewhere around $500-$600 per user per year. So that starts to become, to get to a point where it's actually just as expensive or more expensive than third-party projects that are out there that already do this and have our software company set up to do that on an ongoing basis, do updates, maintenance, and have the staff they need to take care of things, whereas UPC has me. And for the statewide thing, that just doesn't work as well. So to keep it viable is going to cost it a lot of money. And the other problem with that, as I mentioned in the analysis, as people decide, well, PIMS is fine, but we want to go a different direction, then we lose those users as a user base. The cost per user then goes up. And we have to think about that, plus a lot of other options. It's all in the analysis here, what I thought. I'm sure I haven't thought of everything, because I'm not omniscient as far as thinking of everything. In fact, if I've been able to think of everything when we started this, we would have gone a different direction in the beginning, probably. So anyway, the biggest problem is that it's just real expensive to keep it viable. Can we support it as it is? Yes, and I think that's probably a viable option. Those offices, there are offices that are using it. Some cities, some counties, especially smaller offices, it works fine. It does what they need it to do. And it's not a problem. For that, I think we can continue supporting that without any trouble until when Microsoft, in their ultimate wisdom, decides to change the operating system so it will no longer work. I don't see that happening for at least 5 years. After that, my crystal ball is kind of fuzzy. I have no idea how much longer we can go. But I know that for the next 5 years at least, PIM will be viable for those offices that want to use it as it is now. Changing it, we got a quote from DTS to do programming to flesh out the e-filing to get it, and that's where those figures, $500 per year type thing, comes from, because it's going to be in the neighborhood of $170,000 to $200,000 to get that e-filing part done so you can do it all from PIMS. And that's assuming that the court doesn't change their process, which they've talked about doing. And I don't know if they're going to continue to support the FIMS process or do their new way and shut off the FIMS. I don't know.
They haven't said
they would, but then I don't know that. But I know they're changing the way they're going to accept e-filings electronically.
There's a huge deficit right now and a very troubling deficit from the court. And I think one of the reasons we asked Blake to come up and when this time, I think we need to discuss as a body because I think there's some exposure for all of us.
Right. And I know I've got Blake as a separate, you know, item on the agenda, but maybe now's a good time to hear what Blake's got.
Can I go? I asked you for the agenda because we've been having some problems with our e-filing and also frustrations with the AOC in trying to resolve those. They have declined, maybe better words, ignored our offer to help them address some of these issues, and they just flat out don't even respond. I've had conversations with other prosecutors throughout the state. Jeremy from Carbon County is the latest one. They're having the same problems. And so the reason why I wanted to raise it is to talk to this entire statewide body to see what kind of problems you folks have been having, what experiences you folks have been having with AOC, and whether there's some value to approaching the AOC as a group instead of individual offices. Because frankly, they've been helping us with some stuff that they have monkeyed up during their implementation, so they're correcting their own mistakes, but they don't seem to be correcting some of the issues that continue to flourish. And the latest one, frankly, is, and this is a jaw dropper, their judges can't access e-filing themselves. We got a paper notice of a hearing. I wrote the AOC saying, there's got to be a mistake here. The explanation I got back is, no mistake. We got this information from a third party outside the court system, not part of e-filing. And so we wanted to set a hearing on this information, but because it came from a third party outside of e-filing, the court doesn't have any ability to send an electronic notice. Well, the result of that was we just about missed the hearing because we had a paper notice that we no longer had a system to capture, and we only heard about the hearing because of a phone call from the clerk that day. And of course, during the training for e-filing, the court never told us that their own judges will not be able to use it. And so keep the paper system for those sua sponte settings. Jeff?
Just for my ignorance, when you say e-filing, are you talking about a data push, or do you count a PDF filing as an electronic filing?
No, I'm talking about e-filing with AOC overall. I mean, we've had problems from they don't know what to do with writs, they don't get them processed properly and appropriately enough or quickly enough. We've had problems with electronic notices going to former attorney, former prosecutor, but to their defense email address and vice versa. And then the latest one was getting paper notices from judges where they said, yeah,
they haven't thought through the process and because they haven't engaged the prosecution as a body. So take, for example, we can certainly file however we want to configure it. We can push paper and a document for the purposes of initiating a prosecution. They haven't thought about what do you do about things that are not driven by a complaint. So, for example, you do search warrants. Do search warrants then come from the law enforcement agency as a digital upload, or do they come to the prosecution? Do we take on additional work as a part of that? Because nobody's thought about those nuances of the process, which is within the criminal justice system. So that's just another example of it. And rather than sort of sitting down and talking to us as a group, because we play a significant role in the court's life, and saying, what is your process, what are the things that we're dealing, what are the agencies we're dealing with, and how do we make that work? What they're trying to do is they're discovering issues after their commitment, and they're trying to build patches around those kind of things, which really then throws us for a loop, because it changes our resource allocations. For us, as a large office, this e-filing, which was supposed to streamline the process and make our life easier, in order for us to achieve what they're doing, we are, I think, Lisa, from 8 to 14 extra steps for my support staff.
Right. Yeah, we now have to go through, we actually counted our support staff, they have to go through 26 different steps now to file and parents and counsel. And it's been hugely time-consuming to them.
I've heard the same thing from my staff. The comments I've heard is that basically the courts have just pushed to my staff things that they use.
That's right. Yes. That's exactly it.
Everything's
being pushed out.
That's right.
Our staff has had the same problem. Okay, so I think since this is a shift that's occurring and this is a train that's already moving here, I think that we as a body of prosecution offices, I think need to really have a uniform and unified conversation with the AOC, because this is not solving problems, this is not streamlining problems, this is actually creating new issues for us. And if I'm going to try to capture that workflow issues within, it alters my resource allocations internally for me in a really huge way.
Well, you know, and not to really go into the big picture, but part of what we also learned in trying to also have conversations with the defense about their issues is that, you know, as you probably know, the defense has to contract with third-party providers to e-file their documents. Obviously, as governmental entities, they do not require that from us. But as they explained to us, they did not have the funds to build the entire system. So what they did is they engaged these third parties to build the system, if you will, for the defense side, knowing they couldn't saddle us with that. They then worked directly with us. But in doing that, they didn't fortify that process the way these third parties have. So you talk to the defense, and they're saying, hey, it works great. Keep going. Yeah, it works great. We work with Greenfile. We work with this party. We work with this party. Well, those parties are taking care of the problems that we are saddled with, and they're being paid to take care of it by their clients, i.e. the defense counsel. But the AOC has not provided that support for their direct services with us as the governmental entities. And so we are continuing to have to make that up. And thus, the work that they didn't plan for is being pushed to us to absorb in order to meet, if you will, what the defense is otherwise enjoying. So that's the reason why I raised that the conversations individually with them aren't going anywhere. And so I thought as a body, it makes a lot more sense to hear from all of you what problems you folks are having and if it's common to approach them together.
So do we want to make a motion then? I mean, or do we need to talk about it? What?
Yeah, I mean, I would make a motion that I think we need to either create a small subcommittee to forward the concerns as a group of prosecution, both county and municipal, if necessary, to communicate with the AOC as a body and say, you know, you really need to take our issues and concerns into this program that you're building, because right now, I'm telling you folks, we can't do it. So, you know.
And not to put too fine a point on this, too, you know, I think the longer they ignore us, potentially the bigger problems we have to address. I've been trying to meet with them to at least allow us to give them some of our input on some of our processes, and they've just turned a deaf ear. But if that continues all the way to the next phase of January 1, 2015,
So to give you an example of a collateral consequence for us, we just got an RFP authorization from my council for about $600,000. What was it?
We made the request.
It will be, hopefully. I think it's about $600,000. $700,000. And that's just the opening conversation. So it's going to be up for vote next week, which we think we're confident we'll get it. But that's the first down payment is $700,000 for us. And then all the asset relocation with our support staff and all the steps that we're doing, which is the next part of it. And frankly, we feel like that part of that is being compounded because the AOC is unwilling to have a meaningful conversation.
Yeah.
And also,
so the $700,000 is to purchase a third party product?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's that. That's our
new Don.
Yeah. That's for replacing.
Right, yeah, and I wanted to get to that as well, but I don't want to move on to that just quite yet.
I think rather than a subcommittee, frankly, I think it's an important addition. I think every Wasatch Front County attorney and as many of, or at least representative of the smaller counties off the Wasatch Front should meet with them.
Yeah.
I mean, it appears to me over time we're just giving the judiciary functions that aren't theirs. I mean, to tell you you're going to do it this way, you're going to do it that way, walk in with an information and move to file it. And if they don't want to accept it, let them take the heat for it.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm open to suggestions, however we want to do it, but it was enough pressing for us that we thought that we needed to come down and we really need to sort of discuss this as a group and make a decision whether we are going to be unified in this or we go our own way, but there was something we need to probably decide.
So many others, I mean, I like the fact, you know, everybody goes in and talks to the court, but I think realistically, I don't know that we're going to be able to get everybody together, but I think...
Or a group of people.
Right. So...
And if we go there with maybe 5, 6, or 7 people, right. Saying we represent, here's the 20 people right. That we represent, or the 30 people
well,
that we represent.
Well, for UPC even, I mean, if indeed it's common to the members here, you know, we right. Can use that vehicle.
But well, it sounds to me like, I mean, is there anybody that doesn't have a problem? You're not having any issues?
We're rock stars.
Okay.
But then again, I'm 50 feet from my court clerk, so when we got into this, I'd file it, I'd walk over, that work. Yeah, so we're running like bullets. We're fine.
We're actually in pretty good shape, too. Yeah. Right. Like, what percent, in your opinion, is software problems and computer problems, and how much of it is human beings just not... More judges not wanting to learn systems and or
it appears that the majority of the problems
training issues
is really with design. They just did not they didn't involve any of our offices in the design phase, and so they didn't quite have a good understanding of our operations, and consequently they didn't build into the system certain things that we needed. You know, one of the other issues that we had came up is, you know, we'll have fugitive filings. Foreign jurisdiction doesn't want to grab a person, so we file a motion to dismiss. They have no mechanism to get those motions up before a judge to review and sign with any expediency. So you have people that, you know, are just sitting in jail for periods of time. You have issues with hearings being set and us not getting notified, and victims' rights being trampled. They didn't think about victims' rights. You have issues with certain pleadings that have private or confidential information on it. They didn't plan for that relative to victims for restitution issues. So, you know, obviously they didn't think about their own judges needing to set hearings and send electronic notices of those hearings. So it seems to be primarily with the design phase. They just weren't thoughtful, and thus my concern when they moved to the second phase of building the information filing, you know, what are they going to miss there as well?
I thought we were involved in at least getting everything problems fixed.
No, they didn't really involve us in any of the design decisions at all. They said, this is what it is, deal with it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's what they told us when we tried to get PIMS to work with e-filing too. They said, you got to do it exactly like this or we won't take it.
Okay. Well, the insult to injury to that is that they haven't figured out their own process, but they were dictating to us what they wanted us to do. And so we were trying to actually respond to something that they hadn't actually finalized themselves.
And so that actually makes moving with PIMS
even more
of a problem because it's a moving target. You don't know where you're shooting.
Yeah.
And a moving target gets really expensive when you're talking software development.
So that would be different for a third party provider.
We're talking to the civil side.
Well,
because
yes.
You're going to providers who works for
have to deal with that too, but at least they're getting paid to do it.
Yeah, that's the difference. Instead, we have to absorb the cost where you have to pay the third party to pick up the thing. So
can I ask a question? So, later on the discussion, it talks about getting the legislature to fund something.
Okay,
that's
something different.
Well, is it really though?
Well, first of all, we have to decide what we're going to do with PIMS in the short run because that's going to affect my budget, our budget. So, I mean, I realize that we're transitioning to that topic. It's just, you know, to let you all know the problems that we're having. So not only, I mean, with PIMS, with the e-filing, with everything is can UPC afford to create an e-filing patch for PIMS? The answer is no. So really, what are we going to do with PIMS? You know, in the future. So I kind of have gotten us on a tangent, but we still have an open motion from Sim. I think we do need to approach the AOC, and I'd ask that you include in your motion to designate maybe who should go, you know, AOC or UPC.
I think I would like Blake. Representative from UPC, SWAP, and UCCDA. I think that represents us collectively, and then whoever individually we can go.
Okay.
So we can say, here is the broadest set of prosecution entities.
Right.
That we're representing. So I would ask for leadership participation from those three organizations.
Okay. You want to just let the leader of each of those organizations appoint someone?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that sufficient a motion?
And you'll make an open invitation for anybody else that wants to
vote? I think so. I would ask.
I like Gary's suggestion because I think there's power in numbers here. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I think it's a no-brainer to do that. I'll second the motion.
Okay.
If I even have a vote here.
I'll second it for you.
Yeah.
He can second it for me.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so I'll get with Blake and we'll work that out.
Thank you.
Since we're talking, I knew that the agenda would not flow. We need to finish
just
up with Kim.
Yeah, if I can just kind of the summary here. Basically, as I looked at it, our best option is go ahead and support PIMS for those offices that want it as it is, without, and maybe spending enough money to kind of clean up some of the issues that are there still. There are a bunch of issues that could be cleaned up, but we could maybe spend a little bit and clean up a little bit, but just keep it at that level of support for PIMS, and that would be fine. And those offices who want to go somewhere else, I don't see that that's going to be an issue. That's going to be a problem, because if we're not going to, we don't want to have UPC cannot continue to be a software developing system. So we can support what the UPIMS that's out there, in my opinion, but we can't continue to develop it other than maybe minor fixes, because even minor fixes cost hundreds of dollars, so as far as doing that. But that's kind of where we're at. There are other options to become a software company, and I threw that out there because it is an option, but it's really not valid for UPC. Too much money involved, we'd have to get ongoing money from legislature, and that just isn't going to happen. So our best option, I think, just continue to support PIMS as it is with minor fixes, and then perhaps even work towards phasing it out if we think that they're not going to work down the road. I mean,
and what does that do from a user standpoint? I mean, I have come from a very small office.
Right. If you look on, I did tabs, I should have page numbered it, but tab C, this is the list of PIMS users that Ron provided to me. It's also got the amount that everyone has paid. The ones in red did not pay. I sent them out reminder letters. And then I projected based on the user fees that we got, as well as what I'm hearing from the users as to who may be leaving PIMS for this next fiscal year. So like, for example, Carbon County is talking about leaving, JUAB, we know Salt Lake is, Uinta is gone, Utah County is considering leaving, including East Carbon City, just because Carbon County called me, Midvale, I understand, is considering it. I'm getting into the wrong list. So those are ones that I have a pretty good idea are going to be leaving PIMS, and so based on that, our users are going to go from 607 right now down to roughly 278, and that actually may go down. So there's there's lots of issues in regards to that. Are they all going to pay? What is their user fee going to be to cover? I think cover Ron's fixes and minimal maintenance. And is that what we want to do? Is if we're going to maintain it, for those jurisdictions that choose to remain, then we still need to go ahead and assess those user fees.
Well, I think Jeff's on something, though, because it's kind of hard to have this conversation in isolation with the surcharge conversation, which we're also going to have later.
Right.
And I think they're interconnected.
Well, I agree. I just, am I thinking it's wrong that we need to decide what we would not want to do with PIMS before we go to purchasing a statewide system?
I mean, but there may be some connection in the sense that if part of the concern is that UPC really, we're not really a software company, but the mission objective originally of PIMS was a valid one to create a statewide single
right.
user connectivity issue. Does it make political or legislative sense to go to the legislature for a one-time allocation to say, you know what? We should maybe as a state purchase something that's a third-party vendor product, which then we can license out to the rest of the thing. That's
right.
Something that we haven't talked about before, but the more and more I've been thinking about it, I mean, look, we're all going our sort of separate ways, but it may require a more active role from the legislature. And Sky, you tell me,
They're low to maybe give you ongoing funds, but they are approachable for one-time funds. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so